Hello and welcome to The Transforming Word, a presentation of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio. Our teacher, Dr. Mike Spalding, is studying through the entire Bible. We will be looking at the impact the Bible has had on Christians in the past and how it can change our lives today. Now let's go with Pastor Mike and let the Word transform our hearts.
Wineskins hung around fires and smoke would become black with soot, dried out, brittle, almost useless. And I think the psalmist is saying, that which you have created me for seems to be drying out, seems to not be useful for what I was made for, which was to worship you. I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. I've become dry. I'm in a desert place. I'm hiding. My enemies are seeking to devour me. Yet, I do not forget your statutes. How many of you have been in a desert place in your spiritual walk with the Lord? You don't know how you got there. You just realize one day, wow, I've really gotten away from where I was at. And you just realize that's where you're at. You're in that desert place. But how many of you, when you were in that desert place, you never forgot the Lord's goodness and the Lord's kindness? You never forgot that place where you were at when there was sweet fellowship, when God comforted you. And it was that memory, that remembrance of God's faithfulness that in large part brought you back to Him. Because it is God's grace and mercy that calls us back, right? When we find ourselves in that desert place. Aren't you glad that God doesn't beat you with a club to make you come back? We do a pretty good job of beating ourselves up, don't we? God is loving and merciful. He calls us back in that still, small voice. What are you doing out here in the cold, naked, my child? Come and sit at the king's table. Come and have the best that I have to offer you. Why have you left? Never forget His statutes, His principles, His word, His promises. Those are the things that cause us to endure. The Holy Spirit brings those things to our memory, reminds us of the truth of God that resides in us. See, if you are born again, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And if I leave, I'll send another. The Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. And thereby, the truth of God resides in us. The Word of God is close to us. It's near to us. How many of you have experienced that? It's not really a phenomena. It's a ministry. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that when you needed a passage in a communication, a conversation, you needed something to say by way of encouragement, there it was. You might not have known book, chapter, verse, but the verse was there, and boom, there it was. That's the truth of God residing in you. No matter where you might be out in that desert place, you might be like a wineskin in the smoke. But the truth of God resides in you, the Holy Spirit, so that you will not forget His statutes. How many are the days of your servant? Verse 84. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? How many are the days of your servant? Now, he's not asking, Lord, how long are you going to let me live? That's not what he's asking. What's the first question you always ask when you come to the text, any text, and you're trying to interpret it? The first question you ask is what? What is the context? And what is the context for this stanza? What is the context for the last, this one and the previous two? Suffering, affliction. So what is he asking there then? How much longer? How much longer am I going to endure this? How many of you have ever asked that question of God? Lord, how much longer is this going to go on? I know you could stop this now. All you have to do is speak it and it's over. In fact, you don't need to even speak it. You could just think it. Just will it. It's done. It's over. So, how about now? How many of you know that God has purposes in suffering? Every hand should be up now, because for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this. I shared a little bit again tonight. One of the primary purposes in suffering is to demonstrate His glory, His grace, His mercy, and the excellencies of His majesty. And that's done when we cling to our faith in the midst of our trials. It's a testimony to not just the pagan lost world, but it's a message to our brethren who are off base on this point, in that God's primary concern for us is not our happiness, but that His glory might shine through us to a lost and dying world. And if God so determines that the best way for someone to see that, and He is calling to salvation, is for you to suffer, use me, Lord. Now, that's a difficult thing to say, isn't it? It's made more difficult in our culture today because we Americans, we've become spiritually fat and lazy. We've become accustomed to all of the world's delights. And as Americans, we receive a lot of criticism. Some of it is just. We believe that we, as a birthright, as an American, we have a right to certain things. Nice homes, nice cars, nice jobs, health. I think we've missed something there. That's part of the difficulty in reaching lost people today, is that the gospel message is not come to Jesus and He's going to make your life better, even though that's the way it's presented in a good many places. The gospel message is the same as it's always been. That is that God became man to die in your place because you're a sinner. And your sin, left unforgiven, is going to send you straight to hell. Now, our culture doesn't want to hear that today. And yet, it's not for us to decide, well, Lord, I need to soften this up and make it more palatable. Now you need to just be faithful to state the truth. Because God does the work of salvation anyway, right? How many are the days of your servant? How long is this going to go on is what he's saying. And we're in the midst of affliction. It seems like the days drag on forever and ever. It seems like there'll be no end. Notice what he asks. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? He asks for God's judgment. Now, I like that. That's instructive for us. He says, Lord, when will you deal justly? He wants justice. He doesn't ask for vengeance. There's a big difference. When you ask for God, God, when will you judge this? You're appealing to his justice. It isn't about vengeance. It isn't about fairness. That's one of the things I learned very early in my Christian walk was be careful about asking God to be fair or telling God he hasn't been fair. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't want him to be fair. We want him to be just. If God was fair, we'd all be toast. If God gave us what we deserve, who would be left? No one is the answer. But God deals justly with us. And we praise his name for that. But when will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? When are you going to deal with my enemies, Lord? Notice that this isn't really a complaint. He isn't complaining here. The psalmist knows that judgment is coming. He knows that God is a just God. He just asks when. Doesn't ask why. He just wants to know when. When will you judge those? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. The arrogant. Now that's an interesting. Arrogance is another word for what, by the way, brothers and sisters? The arrogant, the proud. Yeah, the proud. So the proud have dug pits for me. Now, you can see that in a couple of different ways. Snares. The psalmist is saying that the proud, those and proud in this context are those who reject God and his ways. Now, how do I know that? Well, because that's what he says in the last part of 85, men who are not in accord with your law. So he's saying those who shake their fist at you, those who have rebelled against you, those who have not submitted themselves to you, they're not your children, they're not believers, are not servants of yours, Lord. These proud people have dug pits for me. Arrogant, proud, rebellious people are always seeking to trip up God's people. They're always scheming, trying to figure out a way to lay a trap. And they do that because their father, he's the great schemer, right? The arrogant always. Notice that it says they dig pits, plural. So they're constantly laying traps, constantly scheming to try and cause God's people to stumble and fall. Arrogance has no conscience, brothers and sisters. Arrogance, haughty people, They don't have a conscience. They have an appetite. They have an appetite for what is wrong. Boastfulness does not submit itself to another master. It must be its own master. It feeds on itself. Therefore, it's not subject to another master. And so the psalmist says, these arrogant ones who are not in accord with your law, who are rebellious, who shake their fist, wicked people, circumventing God's laws. All your commandments are faithful, verse 86. They have persecuted me with a lie. And notice, he says, help me. And in my Bible, there's an exclamation point there. Notice what the psalmist doesn't do. He doesn't react foolishly by blaming God. He says, no, this isn't of you, Lord. I know. He doesn't blame God for the situation that he's in. He understands God is faithful. Your commandments are faithful, Lord. The fault is always with the ungodly. It's the same way in salvation. Some say, well, if God chooses and calls, how can he find fault with those that do not? But man is always responsible to answer God's call, and when he doesn't, he's responsible for not. And some say, well, that's not fair. And my response is always the same. Do you want to get saved? Well, no. Then where's your beef? What's the problem? If you want to be saved, be saved. God will save you. So God is faithful, contrasted with those who are not faithful, but they are liars. He says, help me, with an exclamation point. God is our great hope, isn't he? If God is for us, who can be against us? God's will is going to prevail in every situation, brothers and sisters. Circumstances may change according to the faithfulness of his servants, but his intended goal can never be thwarted. That's comforting. They almost destroyed me on earth, verse 87. They almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. You know, everything that we accumulate on earth is going to rust and break down and wear out, and it's going to end up eventually, no matter how much we treasure it, one day it's going to end up in somebody's garage sale. It's going to end up in a flea market someplace. The world can consume our possessions, and it will. But the world cannot consume us. He says, they almost destroyed me. Almost. God is sovereign, brothers and sisters. Worldly things belong to the world, but the things of the Spirit belong to God alone. The Scripture says that we are not to place our treasures here on the earth. God says, put your treasures where? In heaven, because they can't be touched there. They can't be destroyed. They can't be devalued. They almost destroyed me. And notice, on the earth. I think the psalmist is giving us a good principle here. And that is this, Don't become too attached to this. Don't become too attached to stuff. Don't become too attached to this life. How many of you have heard and know this is true? When you hear testimonies, you hear people saying that I just long to be with my Lord. I just want to be with the Lord. Now, that's not some kind of macabre death wish or something. It's just that they understand that what God has in store for those who love Him is so much grander, so much better. It even escapes definition than what we have here. We're left here for a reason, to be witnesses for Him. And so we should always be looking, gazing to our Father in heaven, understanding that this life is just transitory. They almost destroyed me on earth, those things that are bound by space and time. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. So no matter where he found himself, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who said, whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing, I've learned the secret of contentment. And you know what it was? Jesus Christ. Jesus fills all of our needs, all of the longings of our heart are found in Jesus. As for me, I did not forsake your precepts. They can take all of my possessions away in this place, and I'll still cling to your truth, O Lord. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Now that's an interesting statement, and you can find that statement. In fact, I wrote the verses down someplace. There are like 8 or 9 verses where it says and encourages us to be revived. I'll have to get those for you. I wrote them down someplace and I don't know what I did with them. But throughout Psalm 119, he talks about this, about being revived and asking the Lord to revive him. Revive me according to your loving kindness, according to your faithfulness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. I like that. His eyes were focused on the Lord. It says, revive me, do this work in me, breathe life and energy and hope and all of those things into me so that I may serve you, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth, not so that I can have this or do this or escape this, but that I may be a witness for you. Very encouraging words. Next week we're going to look at the 12th stanza, which begins a whole new focus after the desperation that we have seen in these last 3 stanzas. The next one, the 12th stanza, verses 89 through 96, and you can read ahead for next week, demonstrate a renewed countenance, a renewed spirit, a renewed hope, reaching up for God.
That's all we have time for today on The Transforming Word with Dr. Mike Spalding. If you'd like to listen to the message again, mail your request to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. Or you can go to our website. The address is cclohio.org. If you like, you can email Pastor Mike. His address is PastorMike@cclohio.org. Again, if you'd like to write us, send your letter to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. Please include the call letters of this station when you write. If you're in the Lima, Ohio area and would like to join us as we study through the Word of God, our services are held on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima, Ohio. Until we meet again next time, let the Word transform your heart. The Transforming Word is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio.